One part of the computer world that Microsoft has yet to take over is audio and video on the internet. Rob Glaser left a high-level position at Microsoft and developed the Real Audio Player. His life has been an unusual combination of political activism and high-tech entrepreneurship. From member station KUOW, Ross Reynolds profiles the man who put music, speech, and moving pictures on the internet.
Talking to Rob Glaser feels like jogging next to a marathoner. You can keep up in the short run, but his smarts and energy are going to dust you in the end. As he explains his shortcomings as a tech person, he characteristically punctuates his remarks by pumping his hand while his index finger and thumb form an L in some kind of uber geek sign language.
Ability to you know, opine on between wavelets and fractals and further innovations in DCT level compression, you know, where you're going to get the best quality. And
no,
what, how to do
I don't know. I don't have a clue. So I get the high-tech entrepreneur and bowling enthusiast down to the two-lane Real Networks bowling alley to throw a few frames and explain something I can understand.
They call that the baby split. You can make it one of two ways.
Glazer's ferocious work schedule rarely allows much time for bowling. But there have been rewards, like the first time his software was used to broadcast around the world on the internet. It was a Seattle Mariners game in 1995.
It was incredibly fun. I mean, it was... You sort of go back, you know, when I was a kid, you know, there was the one small step for man, one giant step for mankind. So you're sort of used to sort of hearing all these audio signatures. And the notion of thinking, hey, we could be creating one of those as well.
Nice to be on the internet around the world for our first broadcast via that marvel. And
in the last 6 years, an estimated 210 million people have started to use Real Network software to listen to distant radio stations and even watch baseball games over the internet. Glaser was born in Yonkers, New York, to immigrant parents. He graduated high school a year early to attend Yale. There he earned 3 degrees in 4 years, wrote a column for the school paper called What's Left, and organized political groups. By the time he graduated Yale in 1983, he was torn between his interest in computers and his passion for social activism. He considered a job organizing the United Farm Workers databases for $10 a week.
I thought about doing that. And I'd like to think it wasn't the $10 a week that motivated me not to do it, but it was the sense of leverage or impact.
Former Real Networks president Bruce Jacobson knew Rob Glaser at Yale.
When Rob left, he actually wrote a column saying that he was going to join this company called Microsoft, which at that point nobody had ever heard of, but he was going to go further the cause through electronic bulletin boards. None of us knew what electronic bulletin boards were either.
At Microsoft, Glaser rose swiftly through the ranks to help propel the company to the top rank of American corporations. Bruce Jacobson, who went to work with Glaser at Microsoft, says he was a taskmaster.
He was just incredibly demanding about the quality of the work, and he was also illusionless. I mean, even if people were working hard, if we weren't succeeding, then we weren't working hard enough for doing the right thing. So it wasn't like, oh, you tried really hard, but you failed, that's okay. It's more like, hey, we're here to succeed.
As Microsoft supersized over the 80s and early 90s, going from 250 employees to 15,000 employees, Glaser found it more difficult to be innovative.
I liked the Microsoft culture very much when it was David and when IBM was Goliath. And I thought that it was scrappy and it was fun and it was appropriate to be scrappy. But I came to feel that when you become a Goliath yourself, the world wants you to act differently.
Glaser left Microsoft in 1993. He decided to travel for the first time in his life.
I remember like going to the pyramids and thinking, you know, these things have been here for 5,000 years. Holy cow. And then sort of immediately after that was thinking, well, geez, for 4,980 of them, there was no Microsoft.
Back in the Seattle area, Glaser began hatching plans for a company that would exploit new media to convey left liberal perspectives. It was called Progressive Networks. Their advisors included Ralph Nader, Norman Lear, and NAACP chief Benjamin Chavis. But early on, Glaser and the advisors decided a new direction looked more promising. They focused the project on the burgeoning new medium known as the World Wide Web.
We thought, well, geez, we want to be the people that turn the web from a static, mute environment to being a full audiovisual interactive environment.
At the time, the only way to listen to audio over the web was to download a FAT data file. At the low modem speeds of the time, it could take an hour to download a 5-minute clip. Glaser's innovation was a piece of software called the Real Audio Player. It eliminated the wait and allowed the computer user to listen after a short pause. The process was dubbed streaming. When Glaser debuted Real Audio at the National Association of Broadcasters Conference in 1995, it was an immediate sensation among the early adopters of the Internet. Although press accounts at the time touted it as bringing radio to the web, Glaser was far more ambitious. Former Real Networks president Bruce Jacobson.
Rob's driven because he just has this real strong vision. I don't think he woke up one morning saying, I want to be an entrepreneur. I think he had a vision about how you could really get information out to everybody, that people care the most about audio, or people use audio and video more than they read, and then nobody was making it possible for everybody to go be broadcasters. And that's what he cared about. And the way to go do it was to be an entrepreneur.
The mission of Progressive Networks changed, and a few years later, so did the name, to Real Networks. Glaser continues to support progressive causes, but the focus of his company is succeeding in the high-tech world, and that's gotten much tougher since Glaser's former employer, Microsoft, became a competitor. But unlike other small companies challenged by Microsoft, Real Networks has managed to hold a dominant market share in software for streaming audio and video. It's been difficult over the last year in the face of cascading bad news in the dot-com business. On July 26th, Real Networks went through the first layoffs in its 7-year history, giving pink slips to 15% of the staff. The stock has been hammered, revenues and profits are down, but Glaser is optimistic that Real Networks can prosper in what he calls the ecosystem of the World Wide Web.
I think we're at the very beginning of this medium. It's funny to say that because we have 200-something million users, but in terms of the availability of the celestial jukebox for music, the availability of the celestial video jukebox for television and film, in terms of people being able to personalize and customize and get what they want, when they want it, wherever they want it, we're just very early in that process.
Rob Glaser is apt to be around to see that process unfold. He turns 40 in January. For NPR News, I'm Ross Reynolds.